according to Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grab my cup. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us today and always. Amen. Happy Epiphany! This is the day when we remember the Magi, those wise men, and their visit to the Christ child, which marks the first revelation of Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the God in the flesh, to the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles, embodied by these gift-bearing foreigners, the Magi, outsiders, non-believers. We three kings of Orient are. What do we know about these outsiders, these strange gift-givers, these Magi? There's quite a bit that we think we know, but the truth is most of that stuff is, well, just made up. For instance, their names. Tradition tells us that these visitors were called Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. These names may come from some reputable sources, but truth be told, they aren't biblical. The appearance of these visitors occurs only in Matthew's gospel, the gospel text that we read this morning, and nowhere in that text are any names given. We don't even know where they're from either. Nope. All we know is that they came from the east. Some have supposed that this might mean Persia or Persia, Arabia, and India. But all we know is east. In fact, if you want to know the truth, we don't even know that there were three. That's right. We don't know how many there were. It seems pretty clear that there were more than one. But beyond that, our only inkling of how many there were is based on the gifts that they give, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. So what do we know about these magi? We know that they are out-of-towners, right? Having come from the east, we know that they are foreigners, and given that, we know that they are not likely to be Jewish. We know that they have seen a star and understood that that star meant that a child has been born the King of the Jews. Understanding this to be the case, they have decided to come and meet this child. And for some reason, they follow this star first to Jerusalem, where word gets back to the current king of the Jews, Herod, about these strangers and their search for this mysterious child. Herod, like many kings before him and many who have come since, is a paranoid sort, fiercely territorial, and madly in love with himself and his own sense of power and control. He naturally feels threatened by all this King of the Jews talk and wants to see something done about it. Our pals, the strangers from the east, become useful tools to Herod. So he asks them to let him know what they discover. He just wants to know what they know, you know. He's a curious guy, Herod. Just curious, that's all. He's not going to do anything to the baby. He's just curious. So, anyway, these three, this unknown amount of strangers from somewhere in the east, you know, that way, follow this star until it stops. And overwhelmed with joy, they find the baby Jesus and Mary, his mother. And when they found them, they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that's usually where our tale ends, with the listing of those gifts. It reminds me of all those post-Christmas conversations you wind up having with people. Did you have a wonderful Christmas? Oh, great. What did you do? What did you get? Right? What did you get for Christmas? Not who did you see. Who were you with? What'd you get? What'd you get? The thing is when we stop there, we leave out the last verse. A pretty important bit, a pretty crucial detail. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And having been warned in a dream, remember, this is how Joseph knew that Mary's baby was from the Holy Spirit and was to be named Jesus. These dream visions are a pretty important and common method of communication for God. It's like God's version of texting, right? Don't go back to Herod, skull emoji. They left for their own country by another road. They went home another way. They took the back roads, the scenic route. They turned off their GPS, kept an eye on the rear view, and zigzagged their way back home. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. That is, putting their trust in God, the God of the Jews, our God, not theirs. They risked their own safety by disobeying the powerful and paranoid and brutal and violent King Herod. He had a bit of a reputation, and went underground, evading capture so that this child might not be harmed. It was a wise move that these wise men took, wasn't it? After all, what happens next in this story from Matthew's gospel is the text we read just last Sunday, the slaughter of the innocents, when King Herod deemed that the baby boys of a certain age should all be killed. Now, we have no actual historical record of this beyond Matthew's gospel, but it's pretty fitting given what we know about Herod's character. He was a brutal, paranoid, vicious, and violent king. At this point, you may be wondering, why are we reading stories like this at Christmas time? Why are we reading about civil disobedience, megalomaniacal paranoia, and the slaughter of innocent children? Why are we de-romanticizing our image of the three kings, the wise men, the magi? Why is it important that we remember more about them than just the gifts they brought, the frankincense, the gold, and the myrrh? You know, speaking of those gifts, there have been all kinds of reasons and meaning attached to those gifts that they have brought. Just like we have concocted whole names and biographies of these wandering strangers, we have built whole mythologies over what those gifts signify. And we could get into all of that, but I feel compelled to ask this one question. Were those the real gifts? Clearly, they represent extravagance and a real radical sense of generosity on the part of these non-believers upon meeting the incarnation of the God of Israel, the Word made flesh, the Christ child called Jesus. But do those gifts, in whatever meaning or value we want to attach to them, matter as much as what these outsiders did for Jesus? What were the real gifts of the Magi? That they recognized the difference between wealth management and extravagant generosity? That they recognized the difference between royal appointment and divine calling? That they understood what it meant to serve the greater good rather than the fragile ego of one king? That they knew what it meant to be men of action rather than men of acquiescence? These three kings, or however many there were, have a lot to teach us. Not about the particularity of the material goods, the stuff that they lavished upon Mary and her baby, but by what they did. In their curiosity about what the stars had to teach them, in their openness to the God of Israel's expression to them, both in dreams and in the physical presence of this baby, Jesus. In their expression of joy and honor before the Christ child, and their willingness to set their own safety aside for the sake of saving his life. Yes, we have a lot to learn from these wise, wise men. As we reach beyond this Christmas season, as we open our eyes and hearts and minds to the revelations of Epiphany, as we enter into our everyday lives, striving, as Tina mentioned, to do a little bit better this year, let us ask ourselves, what gifts do we bring to the manger? How do we respond to God's call on our lives? How do we embody the radical generosity, the civil disobedience, the complete adherence to God's, like those strange sages old will, rather of old How do we embody the radical generosity, the civil disobedience, and the complete adherence to God's will, like those strange sages of old, rather than the political adherence to the will of kings or to our own self-protection? How might we be wise these days? How might we use our gifts, our bodies, our will to disrupt the sinful individuals and systems that seek to separate and destroy? How do we use everything we have to glorify God? We don't always know all the things that we think we know. Sometimes, most of the time, the questions that we ask are more important than the answers we think we already have. And more often than not, the best answers only come after asking the right questions in the first place. So let's keep asking. Let's keep searching. Let's keep seeking God in those unfamiliar places and people. And let's not allow any king to tell us what to do with what we learn or where to go. God's got the directions. Let us trust and follow. Amen.